The Hoop Collective is presented by QuickBooks. New business? No problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Monday afternoon with two of my guests, both in Oakland, California. Actually, I shouldn't say Oakland, the Bay Area. Still catching myself that the Warriors are no longer in Oakland. No excuse. First time joining us on the podcast. Coming to us from the Chase Center, I believe, in San Francisco is Kendra Andrews. Hello, Kendra.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And coming to us, I believe, from his house across the bay is from Manscaped. Want to make sure we hammer that new branding, Mark Spears.
Hello. Bonjour.
Kendra Spears is just back from Senegal, where he was covering the Basketball Africa League. And we're going to talk to him about that a little bit. Spears, how's your jet lag situation?
Man, it's actually not so bad because when I got home on Friday after 20 hours of travel, I like had a meal, laid down, and was tried to watch NBA games, and NBA games watch me for the next 12 hours.
Ideal.
So I think after that, I'm been good, man. It's been surprisingly good, but I'm a guy that sleeps 5 hours, so 12 hours was a lot and got me back.
All right, good. Well, I figured I would have you guys on because now Kendra came to us from Comcast Bay Area, which is the network that has the Warriors games. So she's very knows the Warriors very well. Has covered them for several years. Before that, you covered the Nuggets. Am I right, Kendra?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
But I feel like this is we're getting into a very important time in the Warriors season. Obviously, tonight we won't know. This podcast will come out Tuesday morning. We won't know how Draymond Green looked tonight. He's coming back tonight against the Wizards. But to me, Kendra, there's two of the most important things in the NBA, and then there's a 2A. The two most important things in the NBA for the rest of the season are, that I can at least predict and see at the moment, one, Draymond's health, because his impact on the Warriors is as important as any other player on a title team. I'm not saying he's better than other players, but what he does for the Warriors changes them. That's not a controversial statement. And two, something we'll talk about later in this podcast, will Kyrie Irving be able to play in home games? The 2A factor for me is Brooke Lopez's health, because the Bucks, as a defensive team, are completely different when Brooke is able to be effective in playing. And he is returning on Monday after missing 3 months following back surgery, which is something we're going to be watching and talking about. But back to what I wanted to talk about, Kendra. Warriors have a lot going on right now. Mm-hmm. Number one, Draymond Green coming back. Number two, James Wiseman, who I know you watched with Spears yesterday against the G League Ignite, playing for the Santa Cruz Warriors, which we'll talk about in a second. And Klay Thompson looking like he's sort of coming into his own. But let's start with Draymond. You've obviously been covering the team the whole year. You've been listening. What's going on? What do you think we should expect to see from Draymond coming off of this injury?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has a lot of conditioning to do, right? Draymond even said after Shoot Around today, look, I expect to be on about a 20 to 23 minute restriction for the first 10 to 14 days that he's back, to get his conditioning back, his legs back underneath him. He said to get his quick reaction time back. He said he wants to use these first 2 to 3 weeks that he's back to ramp up, to get that conditioning back. So that by the time there's about a week and a half left of the regular season, he is where he was, or as close to where he was before his injuries, he can get as they head into the playoffs, because as you said, Brian, like he is their key. You know, I asked Steve Kerr one night when they were on that 5-game losing streak, is Draymond the key to any success that you guys are going to have? And he looked at me and he just said, yeah. So they need Draymond to be as close to where he was before, because he was having his best season in years before he was injured. So, you know, to answer your question, I think for tonight, day one, after 2 months, he's not going to be the savant that he was when he got injured, But the hope is that he will get very close to that over the next several weeks. They have 14 games left in the regular season. So the hope is that over those 14 games, he'll get back, because they need playoff Draymond, right? Like, he takes his game to a whole new level in the postseason. And that's what they really, really need from him.
Spears, I'm so worried about this injury because it's a nerve injury. And it's a back nerve injury. It's just, it's hard to predict with that, man. I mean, you've been talking and updating us on this the whole way. You've been checking in with Draymond, but this is like so, I really do believe like the title could be affected by how that nerve on that disc, whatever's going on in there, holds up.
Yeah, the Warriors were pretty sensational with their three-guard lineup on Saturday. A lot more intimidating than I expected them to be against a great team, the Champs and the Bucks. But to your point, man, like, for the most part, since Draymond's been out previously since January 6th, and I say January 6th because that's – I don't count the Clay game, man. He just made a cameo, right?
He doesn't either. Draymond said he doesn't count it either.
Yeah.
Well, then what do you do it for? It's so bizarre. Like, well, him, like, playing 15 seconds in that game and Chris Paul playing 15 seconds in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't get it, but okay, go ahead. Do what you want to do.
Sentimental value. It looks it's like Willis Reed played a lot more in that game now than he actually played, right?
You're right. That's a fair point.
It's all for the optics. But they've kind of went into a average spiral since Draymond's been out. They've won probably about 60% of their games. Definitely not as intimidating, and Memphis has since passed them up in the standings. The Warriors had a great record. I want to say they were like 27-8 the time that Draymond went down. And so he is certainly the heart and soul of their defense, the heart and soul of their team, somebody that makes them accountable. They've had some close losses where I think if Draymond plays in those games, there's some focus and there's some mistakes
no that doubt.
Don't happen. The no Dallas doubt. Loss to me, right? Blowing that big lead, I don't think that happens with Draymond there. So,
plus so many of their guys went in the slumps. I mean,
yeah,
Jordan Poole is now coming out of the slump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he went back into the starting lineup on Saturday that helped. He had his best game in, I don't know, weeks in my memory. But, you know, he was helpful for Steph and Jordan Poole when he played.
Yeah. So I just think that, I think they're still formidable with or without him. They're a championship team with him.
Kendra, let me just say that I really applaud Wiseman for going to the G League and actually playing in the games. I don't understand why this is so taboo for players coming back from injury to actually play games in the G League. They go there and practice. Why wouldn't you use this resource of going there and playing the game? It's an opportunity to get real basketball against high-level competition that has no stakes for the big team. Major League Baseball players who make $25 million a year go down to double-A ball and pitch two innings or get three at-bats or whatever when they're coming back from big injuries. Why would an NBA player deem it below him to go down and play in the G League? And I know that Wiseman's doing it because he's a young guy and it's not deemed as, I don't understand why Klay Thompson wouldn't go play. I just don't get it. Anyway, that's my little high horse there. I apologize. What did you see from Wiseman on Sunday? They played against the G League Ignite in that game. Mm-hmm. So the younger guys, although he was playing against some older guys in that game as well. What did you see from Wiseman in seeing him in person for the first time?
I think didn't Steph Curry play? He played in a G League game when he was coming back from his hand injury about like two years ago, I think.
And I applauded it.
Yeah.
And I applaud the Warriors for doing it. Go for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, when he played on Sunday against the G League Ignite, first off, you mentioning his size, he is just a massive person. Like his upper body, he has put on so much muscle over the past 10 years, months since he's been out. It's pretty insane, honestly. For what I saw, it's like, look, he looks like a young guy who played three college games and nearly 40 NBA games. He made some mistakes, but he also had some good minutes. And he showed the unique skill set that the Warriors want him to add to this team, right? He I can't remember. I think he grabbed like 12 or so rebounds. Mark, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he grabbed a ton of rebounds, right? He was crashing the boards all over the place. He had some good dunks. He had those moments that you say, aha, yeah, like that is what the Warriors are looking for with him. And then he had moments where he's making a lot of mistakes. But during that game, I talked to Dejan Milojevic, who's the guy who's been working closest with James over the past 10 months. And he kind of said the same sentiment. He's going to make mistakes. We see a lot of mistakes, but they want him to make those mistakes now, point it out, and then adjust from there. Now, when James is ready to come back to the Golden State Warriors, is he going to be in the rotation? As you said, Brian, yeah, like Nemanja Bjelica, Otto Porter, they've kind of been falling out of the rotation. They haven't been playing as well when they are in it. Does that mean that James is just going to be right there as Kevon Looney's number two? No, he needs to prove himself, especially as they get into the tail end of this regular season and make that playoff push. They don't necessarily trust this 20-year-old who's barely played in the NBA. That being said, they're going to find him specific opportunities to get those reps, to play in those games. So you can see the foundation, and there's a long way for him to go until the Warriors are ready to hand over the reins to him and say, just go out there and do what you do.
Spears, what can they honestly count on this guy, you think?
Oh, I definitely believe so. I mean, he's if I didn't know any better from what I saw on Sunday, I would have never thought he was hurt. Mm. There was nothing that gave me an indication that he had been hurt before. He ran the floor really, really well. He's an amazing athlete. He ran the floor like a guard.
Yeah.
I still think there's a little rust there. But as Kendra mentioned, he rebounded well. He dunked hard. And you could tell he's ready to get his opportunity. At the end of the second quarter, I believe he got a putback. Buzzer sounded, and he screamed. And Brian, you got a – I don't know if you watched any of it. It was a weird G League event because it was at Chase Center, and there was about 12,000 people there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was full. It was full.
Yeah. They came out for it. And so he got this like really thunderous play and screamed. Like it was almost as if he was like letting loose all the frustration since going to Memphis, and asked the crowd to give him more cheers. And I'm like, okay, he's ready. He's back. And so, you know, he said after the game that he's going to be day to day, like, and I get it. He's not in a back-to-back. He's not going to play against Milwaukee. On Monday night against Washington. But I don't think the Warriors need to waste any more time. Like on Wednesday when the Warriors play the Celtics, put him on the roster. You know,
yeah.
They need his size desperately.
Mm-hmm. Kevon
Looney could only do so much. Bjelica is a shooter. He's not a big guy. He is to me, like, obviously Draymond is a huge missing piece, but he is the thing that's missing on their roster. There's
Agreed.
Nobody that's over 6'9" in the post, right? I'm not counting Bjelica. There's nobody that could block shots like him. There's nobody that could score in the post like him. Like, does he start? No, you don't do that. You don't start him. But I think he makes an immediate major impact on this team. And the sooner the better to get him in because, hey, they're going to use him against Joker. They're going to use him against Ayton. There are bigs in the West. What if the Warriors face Minnesota, right? Like, they're going to need him against a lot of the great bigs in the West. And he is, to me, the only weakness that this team has. And so – look, he did the G League games. He's going to make some mistakes, but I think he's going to do some great things. And actually, kudos to the Warriors, man, for getting him, for getting Kuminga, for getting Poole, for getting Moody. They have what I believe is the torch to the next generation, and they've done it in a way that is similar to Brian, for what we've seen for years with the Spurs. How they went from David Robinson to Duncan to Manu and Tony to Kawhi. And obviously that ended, but there was a nice, 20-year stretch there where the Spurs were doing some great things because of their drafting.
Yeah, and the thing about Wiseman is that for all of his length, that I don't know what his wingspan is off the top of my head, but I'll bet it's like 7'5". He's going to have one of the top 5-6 wingspans in the NBA. So his ability to challenge shots once he learns to do that is significant, and that is a big thing that can show up in key moments in playoff games. Secondly, when I watched him play last year, and I have not seen him, I did not see any of the G League games. You guys are ahead of me on that. When I watched him play last year, it impressed me how good his hands were and how good his footwork was. In other words, not the technical aspect of his footwork, but his skill level with his feet as he could move. This is not something that you normally see from men of that size, which is why when everybody was going on and on about LaMelo, I mean, I get it. I understand. In retrospect, they probably do take LaMelo. I'm not arguing that. But there was a reason why teams went and watched this guy work out and their jaws dropped and were like, we got to have this guy. And why there was, you know, machinations about moving the pick around and stuff like that. That was during the COVID draft where there was these rules about how many times teams could watch guys work out. Well, there were teams like sneaking in to see Wiseman, you know, doing unofficial workouts so that it wouldn't count as a workout because he just wanted to see him because he was so much of a mystery. And teams were walking away from those workouts going, oh my God. So I understand why the Warriors took him, whether it was the right call or not. And I don't think the league hasn't seen it. The Warriors, Kendra, when I read and when I read what they say and I hear some of the stuff that they say, they've obviously seen some stuff in practice that gets them very excited. You know, it's obviously a real, you know, unfortunate situation that A, they seem to play better without him on the court last year, certainly Curry, and B, that he got hurt. So we had this sort of, you know, mark on him. But I feel like this could be a significant changer combined with Draymond, and we'll see. Kendra, I don't know how it'll play out.
I mean, and it's hard to tell because, as you said, we've barely seen him. You know, I think one of the issues with last year is that they just didn't take the right approach with James. I think the Warriors saw that they had a ceiling on that season, so there was no shame in just letting him go out there and pretty much just do whatever, you know, and not be too concerned. Yeah, you're making a lot of mistakes, but we're not gonna get to a certain benchmark of that season, you know, versus this year. I think it's tricky because, or maybe not tricky, but the Warriors have certain expectations, you know, for themselves, right? They want to win a championship. They believe that they can. I agree with what Spears is saying about, yeah, you know, he has a skill set that no one else has on this roster. He is definitely a missing piece. From what I have been told from people, though, is that they aren't ready to just say, go out there and be that crazy immediate impact. I think the way they really liked how they've approached Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody's development, and I expect them to mirror that development with James and bringing him along. Now, his skill set is more unique than JK's and Moses's, so you are probably going to see more opportunities. But at the same time, if he's following Jokic a bunch, if he's following Giannis a bunch, if he's doing those things that are going to cost them down the stretch, unlike last season where they let him play through that, I don't believe that that's going to be the case this season. But, you know, time will tell, because as you said, we haven't seen it yet. We don't know what he's going to look like out there with Steph, with Draymond. But it is very encouraging for them that all of their pieces are finally coming together where they're going to have a healthy roster and at least have the option to put him out there to give Kevon Looney a break and things like that.
Jackson looked it up for us, 7'6" wingspan. So
big, it's very big.
So Spears, we obviously saw Klay have a 38-point game on Saturday. Huge moment for him. I mean, you could just, the thing about Klay is he's so genuine. So like just seeing the smile on his face was great. The reality is he's been in a slump. He's not shot the ball well after the All-Star break. I don't know if this is a breakout game or not. We'll see. Of course, they have a game tonight. I'm always leaving myself open to these sorts of situations. He may have 46 tonight and this pod comes out tomorrow. Are you, where are you at on Clay? Because again, this is, if Clay plays like that regularly, this is championship Clay. You know, what do you think we're going to get from him based on what you've seen recently?
What did Forrest Gump say? It's like a box of chocolates, man. You just don't know what you're going to get. And I think when you, we forget that not only he had a Achilles injury, but he has the knee injury. It's a lot, man.
No doubt. And
so I think it's going to be hit and miss. I think the three guard lineup helps him, takes pressure off of him. You know, the Warriors can rotate the ball and perhaps give him some easier looks than he was getting before. I still feel like, respectfully, because I have a lot of respect for Clay and what he's doing, that I think he's forcing it a little bit. Kendra can tell me if she thinks I'm wrong, that he's kind of taking some bad shots, some kind of home run shots that I don't think were typical of some of the shots that he took pre-injury. Mm-hmm. And he probably needs to calm down on that a little bit. But the one thing, the playoffs will help him once that comes around, is the Russ will be gone. I think it's pretty much gone now. And there's no back-to-backs. So you don't have to worry about him losing rhythm from missing games. He'll play in every game, assuming he's healthy.
Right.
And so I think that you'll see a better Clay. And here's the thing. We haven't seen him play with Draymond, right? So Draymond gives Steph – I think that's another reason why Steph is taking a dip, is because Draymond gives him great looks. Draymond catches him diving to the basket for layups. And Draymond's going to make it easier for Clay. So assuming Draymond's healthy, and that's a big assumption, I think Steph, Clay, the rest of the offense is going to take a jump, because he is kind of like this great traffic cop with the basketball that just spreads out the offense and makes it easier for everybody else.
One person in the Warriors told me, they said that Draymond's the control center, right, for everything they do. Because, of course, he gets a lot of credit for defense, but as Spears is saying, on offense, I mean, I think he's assisted Steph on more of his baskets than anyone else on the Warriors. So it's huge. And also, Spears, like, you're not far off at all to say that Clay has been forcing it. It's something that Steve has been saying. Clay even admitted it the other night. I asked him, have you been forcing your shots? And he said, yeah, kind of. But you know, I think especially against the Bucks, we saw early on, he wasn't forcing it, right? He was just letting it come naturally. And as he does that, as he hits those easy shots, then the tough ones, whether it's a defender 2 centimeters from his face, becomes so much easier for him. So I think that Bucks game, we finally saw him just sit back and let everything come naturally to him. And then he goes off, as he does so, so many times.
Well, 2 games on the Warriors schedule that I am circling, because assuming we get Draymond back for some games and Wiseman gets worked in over the next week, I believe it's a week from this Wednesday, the Warriors go on the on an East Coast trip. And it's going to be a fun trip, Kendra, for you. They play next Wednesday, the second night of a back-to-back, so we'll see what they do with Clay. They play in Miami against the Heat. That's obviously a possible finals matchup, but that'll be a week and a half into Draymond, some time into Wiseman. That's a big game. And then to close that road trip, again, the second night of a back-to-back, unfortunately. So I don't know who's going to play in it, but Warriors at Grizzlies. This is a potentially very important game. What's the season series 1-1, Kendra?
Have they played them twice already?
They definitely played twice. I think I almost want to say
they played 3 times, right?
Did they? Oh. Let's look it up. I know that they lost the last time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge, huge game. You know, I've been saying that possible playoff matchup sometime of the Grizzlies and the Warriors is one that the Warriors want to push back as far into the playoffs as possible. I don't like that matchup for them. I'm very curious to see, because Brian, as you mentioned, it is a back-to-back game. I'm interested to see if the Warriors tactfully rest Clay on the front end of the back-to-back so that they can see what they look like with him, with Steph, with Draymond, possibly James, Jordan, like with as full healthy of a roster as they can get, because it's something that we haven't seen yet. They haven't been able to play it yet. So I wonder if strategically they'll end up resting Clay on the front end of those games, because it's those are two very big games that, as you said, are going to,
well, it's just a tiebreaker.
And that too.
It's a potential tiebreaker. I got to look and see. I got to double check. I thought it was 1-1, but maybe they played three times.
Grizzlies are 2-1.
Okay. So the Warriors to have a chance to win the tiebreaker, and look, they're right now, they're essentially a dead heat in the standings. And Spears, I mean, like, home court in that series could be really important. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's hard for me to know exactly how the Grizzlies are going to handle it. And I don't want to, like, I mean, obviously the Warriors are so much more experienced that, like, I don't want to say, like, oh my gosh, they couldn't win if they didn't have home court. But, you know, let's not act like it doesn't matter, Spears.
I think it matters more for Memphis having home court in that series than Golden State was. I mean, I've seen the Warriors win in Oklahoma City, right? Like, I've seen them win some games in Cleveland. Like, I don't think they're fazed by the arena that they play in or whatever it is. But I know that Memphis is certainly energized by hearing Whoop That Trick playing in the background and their crazy crowd and, you know, coming in from Bill Street already, like, a little tipsy, right? So I think that environment helps. Although, one thing, hey, Kendra was there. We don't forget it. I mean, hey, Memphis knocked the Warriors out in Chase last year.
Yes, they did.
And so they are confident here. They're not scared of playing here. This ain't Oracle. I was thinking the other day, Brian, like, I don't know if you've been to a game here. It's gotten loud, but I'm like, Kendra, correct me if I'm wrong, please.
I mean, no, you're not. I wonder, like, maybe it's.
But the way I don't hear the Warriors chant, the long Kendra Warriors chant no more.
Kendra is from Oakland, so
I went to many a games at Oracle. I was a
hold on. Let me stop you, Kendra.
Okay,
Brian. This woman and her sister's parents had season tickets, so she probably might have been there when Baron Davis dunked as a child.
I have many. Some other time I'll rank my Oracle moments. But no, I mean, you're right. I don't know if it's the way that the building is constructed or if it is just not as loud, but no, I mean, the chants, the rally cries don't carry the same oomph. They don't shake the building as they did over in Oakland.
They're too busy worrying about being in the bunker suite. Listen,
they knew what they were doing.
I'm muting myself on that one.
They knew that they were, the word selling out isn't the right word, but they knew they were trading the atmosphere for the money. Nobody who was honestly speaking would say any different. Now, I'm sure they can go on and on about their designs or whatever and all that stuff. They knew what they were doing. We knew before the Chase Center broke ground that they could have the greatest design in the history of arenas, and it was not going to be the same. We knew that.
Right.
But nonetheless, the Grizzlies have won. They've won in Phoenix. They've won in Oakland or San Francisco. I'm not there yet. You know, I don't think they're afraid to play anywhere, but I was just going to say, I've seen this with young teams. It's not so much game seven. It's that you get game one and two at home. When you're a young team playing in an environment that you haven't played in before, under the lights like that, where it's just different, second round series with a lot of skin in the game, this potentially could be, it makes a big difference to be able to start at home, to have that crutch. I hear people say, well, it's no big deal. I've heard this for years. I've heard, well, you know, I'd rather start on the road because then there's no expectations and you let them win and you can go back home. I just don't believe that. I believe starting at home is almost as important as being able to finish at home, because it gets you an opportunity to be comfortable, and especially when you're inexperienced.
And
go ahead, Kendra.
I was going to say, I think the experience part on this topic is really interesting when you're talking about, if you're talking Warriors versus Grizzlies, because like Warriors overall are far more experienced than the Grizzlies are, right? Like the Grizzlies made it into the first round last season, but it's been a really long time and it hasn't been with this group led by Ja, right? But for the Warriors also, yeah, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Andre, they have all been there before, but overall this is still a far less experienced group who hasn't made it to the finals 5 years in a row. So, you know, if this was the same team from the 2018-19 season, maybe I would say, no, it doesn't really matter.
All those guys that Spears was just crediting for their being good young guys, those guys haven't done it before.
So in terms of experience, maybe the Warriors would want, they say it doesn't matter because they have played they haven't been the higher ranked seed in the playoffs before, but they weren't counting on 19, 20, 23 year olds as much as they are this year.
Yeah.
I do think too that it's different. John Lucas had a great saying, Brian. He's like, man, it's a little different when the lights come on.
He's right.
And what I mean by that in this case is the lights are coming on to a different level for Memphis that, you know, this is kind of one of those things. I think you have growing pains where reality really hits you because they're this brash team that's been talking all this jazz and, you know, disrespecting LeBron and like playing kind of this underdog, like, you know, pesky Scooby-Doo kids kind of role, you know what I mean?
Scooby-Doo.
And I just think that reality is going to hit them when you're in a real playoff series and you do, you know, like they don't know no better.
Right.
I know.
This will be the first time.
You've seen it, Spears. I've seen it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't
had expectations.
I know.
That's where I wonder how they'll handle it. Like, when suddenly the stakes are high and you're just not like they're not in just invited to the party now. They're trying to crash the party. And
that's why
really,
you
like,
want game one and two at home, man. Because even if you stub your toe in game one, then you know you have game two at home.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, starting at home is big. Okay, Kendra, thank you so much for coming on for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
Hang in there. We'll see you down the line.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Spears, hang on with me. Three times a week, The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast brings you the latest from technology, music, and the very best analysis of the games. Plus, they've got a community of friends, including Dominic Foxworth for Foxworth Fridays. That's The Right Time with Bomani Jones, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And Monday and Wednesday are also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. All right. Well, thanks to Kendra. Spears, I got to talk to you about the Nets and Kyrie because there's something going on right now. And what's going on, and I'm not saying it's organized, but like there is an attempt to, and I'm just going to say right off the bat, I think this is going to backfire. I could be wrong. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen, but there is an attempt being made to publicly pressure New York and the new mayor of New York into letting Kyrie Irving play. And I'm not even going to discuss the baseline issue here, which is get vaccinated or not. That has been sitting there for 6 months. Kyrie made his choice. However you feel, Kyrie's made his choice. They are trying to pressure him. Kyrie comes into the game. He's allowed to attend the game on Sunday. Does he come at the start of the game? No. Kyrie comes in during the second quarter to maximize the exposure. Does he come in on the tunnel that's nearest to his seat? No, he comes in on the far tunnel so that in the middle of the game, so that he can have a nice long walk for everybody to watch. We've got other players calling it out. LeBron is tweeting about it. Durant is talking about it. All trying to put this pressure on the mayor. Spears, I don't think this is going to work. I think they're much better off being quiet and letting the process play out. And it is, to me, the idea that the Nets can do this without having Kyrie playing in home games, and I say do this, I mean win the East, is lunacy. Sunday, they play the New York Knicks. I know the Knicks have been playing a little bit better recently, but they are hardly a juggernaut. The Nets won by 3 points in a game where Durant scored 53. Okay, because they had to play at home without Kyrie. They're not going to be playing the Knicks in rounds 1, 2, and 3 of the playoffs, assuming they get through a play-in. And I know you're going to say, well, you could say, well, what about Ben Simmons? How can I count on Ben Simmons to do anything? He's not even close to playing yet. Spears, I think this is a tactical, yet another tactical mistake that's coming out of the Nets here.
Well, here's one thing you didn't mention. New York mayor cares probably about the Knicks, not the Nets, right?
I think he's actually from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you what the New York mayor cares about. He cares about not being shown up his first 6 months on the job.
No question. Like, he has to set a precedent for what to expect. So I think you're right. Probably staying quiet serves them better than to taunt the mayor or try to twist the mayor's arm, because if he does do it for Kyrie purposes, then there's going to be a legion of people that are going to call him out on that and say, okay, what's your real method? What are you about? So you're going to get swayed by somebody because they're an athlete. You're getting swayed because you're from Brooklyn. I think he's in a really, really tough position politically, because this is certainly much bigger than basketball. But my point is, too, I think if Kyrie was in a Knicks uniform, there'd be a lot more pressure locally.
That's a good point, Spears. See, just because Durant and LeBron and other people are saying that this is a ridiculous rule, and, it may be ridiculous, doesn't mean that the city of New York, that's who Eric Adams has got to worry about. Yeah. It doesn't mean the city of New York feels that way.
Yeah. And I know the Clippers are extremely popular outside of Los Angeles and internationally, right? In LA, you could turn on the radio. They may not talk about the Clippers for the whole day.
You're right.
In New York, I was just out in New York, man. They care about the Knicks.
Right.
They love the Knicks. I mean, I'm not saying there's not Nets fans. There's certainly Nets fans, but if Kyrie was in a Knicks uniform right now, the pressure on the mayor to get him right, to give him a pass would be a lot greater.
Without question.
I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, LeBron's tweeting and they're saying this or that. The pressure is not the same. And so I don't know that the Nets pressure is enough to get a revolution started. I don't know that it will matter. And probably yelling and screaming about it will probably, to me, make it tougher than it would help.
And I think it was Nick Friedell. Other people said it as well, but Nick Friedell, who covers the Nets for us, when they showed Kyrie on the scoreboard, when he came into the game on Sunday, he said there was lukewarm applause. Like, it was like, okay, hey Kyrie, it was hardly like Thunderdome response.
Yeah.
Even though the guy is one of the most brilliant players in the NBA, and I can't remember who it was, and I'll embarrass myself, but
shortly thereafter, there was sort of like a B-level actor who was shown in the stands, and he got a louder applause. And I saw somebody said that's because all the fans there were Knicks fans, so they're not going to cheer Kyrie. And that's like that's smack talk, but you know what? It's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's mostly a Knicks crowd when the Knicks are playing in Brooklyn. And you know, as I continue to watch the Nets, you know, as upwardly mobile as they are, with the possibility that, you know, and Woj keeps talking about how there's optimism within the Nets that this is going to get done. And, you know, Woj doesn't, you know, BS. He is not saying that just because he's taking a guess. He is saying that because he has talked to people who believe that to be true. And so I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible. I'm just going to say, I don't know where that optimism is coming from. It's not coming from something that I can see. Because the mayor just said on Sunday, Kyrie wants to play on Monday. He has to get vaccinated.
Well, and then the owner of the Nets could just pay the fine, right? Isn't it like $15,000?
So that's the one thing. So by the way, it shouldn't be the, you know, it shouldn't be the owner of the Nets paying that fine. It would be, should be Kyrie who pays the fine.
Yeah.
And by the way,
well, for them, that's like you taking $20 out your pocket.
I understand. But let me just say, first off, the owner of the Nets just got fined $500,000 for breaking WNBA rules. That's number one. Number two, Kyrie, it's costing him like $300,000 or $400,000 a game right now to not play at home. He's not getting checks for those games. And so if he had to pay $15,000 instead of $300,000, financially, it's a much better deal for him to pay the fine. But regardless of who's paying it, the NBA has said, the NBA made two big decisions on this months ago. One, they decided that Kyrie was not going to get paid. He was not going to get game checks if he didn't follow the mandate. So even though it was unfair with no mandates in other cities, and even though unvaccinated players could pay there, the NBA wanted to be on the correct side of the law. And so they said they would follow the local government rules, and therefore Kyrie would not get paid. That was a very big moment. That was them drawing a line saying, we're going to be on this side of it over here. And the second thing is that they have said that they will yield to the local government when they do this. You know, they want all their teams to yield to local government law. They're doing that for a reason. They're doing that so that they don't have to make the decision on what the rules are in San Francisco or Los Angeles or Memphis or New York. They want the local governments to decide. So when the local governments decide what the rule is in Toronto, that's the way the rule is going to be. So if the NBA allows Kyrie Irving to play and just take the fine, that is them going back on that support of the local government rules, which means if there's a local government rule someplace else in the country, that it means that that team would just say, well, hell, the Nets didn't have to follow it. We won't follow it, no matter what it is. And so I just don't think they can cross that line. So what I'm saying is maybe the Nets have some sort of negotiation going on. Maybe there's some assurance that's been made. Maybe it's like, hey, listen, we got to pick up the good fight right now, but when it comes time for the playoffs, wink, wink, everything's going to be okay. And maybe that will be the case. But as I'm sitting here looking at the lay of the land and looking at all the pieces on the chessboard and listening to what the mayor said, the mayor continues to reinforce his position. Every time he reinforces his position, it makes it to me very unlikely he's going to go back on it. So maybe there's some, you know, there's some legislative trick that is coming that I don't know or can't see. I don't see how this is going to materially change in 3 or 4 weeks, Spears.
Well, and here's the trickle down part of it. I'm looking at the standings right now, right? Brooklyn's in 8. They're 2.5 games behind the 7th spot with Toronto. No Ben. Not sure when Ben's coming. Kyrie's here and he's not there. So if you're Miami in the number one spot, right? If you're Philly in the second spot, you're Milwaukee in the third spot, that is a weird place to be in.
Oh man.
Knowing that, you know, you could get Kyrie and Ben at full, you know, availability by the time the playoffs part stops.
Right.
So I talked to one player who I'm gonna leave nameless, but he's like, man, I'm not gonna lie, what kind of scoreboard chasing them. I mean, watching, you know,
right,
watching to see what they do, where they could go. And, you know, but you can't really do that because we've seen it backfire and hurt teams too. But it will be amazing to see if the Nets, like, I would assume this, even if they're in a play-in, right? Because they're now 3.5 games, Brian, they're not going to catch Cleveland, right? Can we assume that?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland is struggling, but they're starting – Cleveland starts, I think, a 5- or 6-game homestand tonight against the Clippers. And, you know, but yeah, so Cleveland has a 4-game lead in the loss column. And, you know, Brooklyn,
and it's not exactly like the Nets are like killing it every game right now. Too, right. I think they're playing a little better.
I think Kyrie is only allowed to play in 3 more games. I think there's only 4 road games left, and one of them is at New York.
Yeah. So let's just assume Cleveland sticks at 6, right?
Yeah.
So Brooklyn goes and plays Toronto in a playing game.
Yeah.
What, do you hear what I just said?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, then they would get a chance.
So that means Kyrie doesn't. No matter what he does.
That's right. That's
no
right.
No matter what his New York status is, he can't play in Toronto.
That's right. So that's
so
right.
So game, it's going to be Durant and the Miracles against the Raptors.
Well, if you're a Nets fan, you're rooting like hell for Toronto to move up. And Toronto had a great weekend. They won in Phoenix and then in Denver. Denver had like won 12 of 15. They win. That was an unexpected thing. And the Cavs lost 2 games over the weekend. It went from a 3-game lead to a 1-game lead to start the week. So if you're a Nets fan, you're rooting like heck for Toronto to pass Cleveland so that you know that at least, regardless what happens with Kyrie, at least Kyrie can play in Cleveland. That's number one. You're rooting for Toronto to get the heck out of 7-8.
Yeah.
7-8 situation, or the 7 situation at least. And if you're a team like, you know, if you're a team like, you know, man, you know, so they're very unlikely to get to 6. So if you're a team like Milwaukee or Philly, as you said, those two teams are essentially tied right now for 2. Philly's ahead by a half game, but they're essentially tied.
And Chicago's right there.
That's right. A half game back. So think of the difference between playing Cleveland in the first round and playing Brooklyn in the first round. I mean, it's a gigantic difference.
Yeah.
Especially if Kyrie is able to play in all the games, just, you know, whatever maneuver might happen. It's, you know,
unique, very odd, right?
Yeah. And if
you can't predict it because you can't predict it, Brian, because it's the play-in stuff. You don't know what's going to happen in the play-in. So,
and here's the other thing. Brooklyn's only, as we start the week here, Brooklyn's only a game ahead of Atlanta for 9.
Yeah.
So if Brooklyn falls back into 9 or 10, now that brings Miami in. Now Miami is like, what? Wait a minute. We might get Kyrie in the first round. And it takes Toronto out of the mix, at least for the first game.
Yeah.
And at least you would know that you would play. You have to win 2 games if you're in 9th or 10th, for sure. You know, it's harder to get in. But both of those games would be on the road.
So then let's just say, you know, Brooklyn goes to Toronto. Toronto pulls it out, right? And then they're going to play like Atlanta or Charlotte in a 1-game series. Trey in a 1-game series. I mean, Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant. But, like, that's some rolling the dice there, man.
That's the thing. Like, with Kyrie – in the last 15 days, they've won in Milwaukee and in Philly.
Yeah.
Without Kyrie, they're barely beating the Knicks at home. They need 53 from Durant to beat the Knicks at home.
Yeah.
It's not an instant. It's not just an exercise in conversation. It's a real thing.
Where they end up, man, I wish I could peek into the future. Okay.
This is why they could be out early
or they could be champs. Like, I've never seen a team like this, right? With the Knicks, maybe in the late 90s, was it? When they beat Miami?
Yeah. Allen Houston.
Yeah.
When this is why the concept that the Nets are still the number one favorite to win the East is insane to me. And I know that you could say, well, it's assuming Kyrie does get to play in all the games with, you know, Kyrie, Durant, Ben. First off, I don't know that to be true. Second off, why would I get the worst odds betting on that situation? Yeah. like it's, you know, like you can give me five reasons why the Heat won't win the Eastern Conference this year. You could make a real good case for why they won't win. But you can't make a good case to me why they have the fourth best odds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, that I don't understand. But
and then ultimately, even if you get in, right, you're the Nets and you get in, your road to the finals is like that roller coaster that needs fixing. You know, you know, the one where the they bring to the county fair, Brian. I don't, you know, those roller
the wooden that, the wooden one that you know, they take the part and put back together 500 times.
Yeah, the ones they bring to the fairs in South Dakota or something like that, and then they stay there for a week, and then they head off to like Wyoming, and it's just some guy that got a lot of grease on his hands, and he has a cigarette in his mouth. Man, and you're like, man, do I trust this guy to go on this roller coaster? Like, that's the roller coaster that they're forced to get on. There's no break. That, you know, however long they last, they gotta like face, like, you got Mike Tyson first round, Riddick Bowe's waiting for you in the second round. Wait, Lennox Lewis is waiting for you in the third round. Like, Muhammad Ali's next. Like, you know what I mean?
I know, like, man. I've been telling my people.
Marciano's waiting to, like, there's no easy. Thanks, you know.
I know. I've been telling my people in Cleveland, I'm like, look, some of those years that LeBron took the Cavs to the finals with, you know, in the mid 2010s, you know, like, they didn't have to win one series in the East as hard as like, you know, they'd go to the finals and not have to, you know, they would barely sweat in the Eastern playoffs. It's the last year without Kyrie, they had 2-7 game series, but they would like barely sweat. Winning even one series in the East this year will be harder than winning the East was potentially 5-6 years ago. And you're talking about adding potentially two other victories to get in. Man, it's rough. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Ah, that sound has to make you smile. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to around the globe. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and in-person sales. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/hoop right now. Shopify.com/hoop. Before we go, I just wanted to ask you how your trip to Senegal was for the Basketball Africa League.
Oh, man. I'm still like, one thing I'll say this before I get into the basketball part. Anybody, and I know, Brian, you've been you're like the one reporter I like knows would like to go check it out.
And, I would like to go. Yeah. I've been to Africa twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, like I think a lot of people don't realize that Dakar, Senegal is a 5-7 hour flight from New York. It's not far. Right. Nope. Like you, for people in the East Coast going to Hawaii, you're doing a lot more to go to Hawaii than
you're right about that.
To go to some beach resort in Sally, Senegal. But I think the thing was, it's beautiful, man. Brian, I was almost brought to tears before the first game, listening to the drums, listening to the, seeing the dancing, knowing, and Amadou Fall, who's the president, we were teammates at the University of District of Columbia, like how hard he's worked to bring fans to their games. They're like 3 years in now, 1 year suspended because the first year because of COVID, but this is the first time they've had fans. So, but then it's a challenge because they're essentially still in a bubble. So
they're playing all the games in one city.
They're playing all the first group is playing in Senegal, in Dakar, Senegal. So the Senegalese games are packed, but the other games aren't packed, you know?
Right.
And then the next group is in Egypt. And so there's a challenge there that they won't be able to get over until the world gets healthier, which who knows when that will be. But I think their hope is to try to figure out a way to get fans from the other countries to come see their teams, which is it's just difficult. Like, we forget how big Africa is. It's a continent. Like, it's mammoth. So they have some challenges. But if you watch the games, which I'm kudos to the NBA for having them on NBA TV and ESPN Plus, like, they're fun to watch. They're competitive. The talent looks better. There's a lot more athleticism. And there's some good stories, like Robert Pack, former NBA assistant, longtime assistant, former player, been an NBA assistant for 11 years, couldn't get a head coaching job. So he got his first opportunity with Rwanda, and he's coached them to a 3-1 record and basically clinched a spot in the playoffs in Rwanda, which will be amazing for his team. And hearing he's getting some national team interest from other countries out and on the continent. And then there's a woman by the name of Liz Mills, who's coaching the Moroccan team, AS Asali, and she's making history. She's essentially the only female head coach in the NBA umbrella, not including the WNBA right now. And so there's some history being made there, some opportunities that are being made there. Yeah, I mean, it certainly probably would help if there were some recognizable NBA players. But, like, I think people got to realize, like, these are teams that qualified from their leagues in Africa to, like, play in essentially what is a tournament. So how are you just going to, like, force Jamal Crawford on a team or, you know what I mean, something like that? It kind of dilutes what the leagues were. What
yeah,
they did.
I mean, the league is designed to find – you know, enrich and recruit players eventually to get to the NBA. I mean, in addition to bringing it to Africa, like Joel Embiid, like didn't play basketball much as a kid.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam didn't play much basketball as a kid. There are more, I don't know about Embiid's. That's a super special talent, but there are more Pascal Siakams walking around out there that just need to be introduced to basketball.
Yeah. And Brian, I went to Seed Academy in Senegal. I'm probably saying it wrong. And the facilities, man, like they're doing okay, but we got that group has the best young talent in Senegal, and their facilities are probably not as good as your local high school.
Yeah.
The bathrooms aren't as good. They're So they need money. They need funding, whether it's Seeds, whether it's Giants of Africa that Masai runs. Like, there's a lot of grassroots things that are going on. But once they get more courts, I saw guys playing outside, Brian. I was excited. I saw some outdoor basketball out there.
Hey, man.
But they need coaching, too. That's another thing that somebody pointed out. Like, yeah, you got more guys playing, but who's coaching them? They're like watching YouTube to get better. So the Basketball Africa League, groups like Seeds and Giants of Africa and NBA's Basketball Academy, like they're going to produce some talent, and you'll probably see them first in American colleges. But soon there's going to be that kid that's going to come straight from the, you know,
no
the,
question,
the academy, the NBA academy, or from Seeds or from Giants of Africa. That man is going to open a different door, which will make people really understand what this league's all about.
I mean, I think that the MVP of the NBA this year is going to be African. Right. Okay.
Right.
There's more coming, and yeah. It's only a matter of time before the African countries get real serious in the Olympics. Nigeria upset the US in an exhibition game last summer.
Yeah.
Coached by Mike Brown. They got a little sideways. They had some logistical problem getting to Tokyo, which messed them up. But I would talk more about it, but we got to go because you got to get up to Sacramento. But I appreciate your coverage of it. And I'll just say the people who listen to this podcast, especially who listen this deep into this podcast, because I know other people have turned it off by now. But if you listen this deep into this podcast, you care about basketball, you care about the NBA. So do yourself a favor. Pay attention to African basketball, because African basketball is the next frontier for NBA basketball. We are going to see, I believe, in the next couple of decades, a legion of elite African players who are going to be inspired by the Siakams. Like Siakam and Embiid were inspired by guys like Al-Farouq Aminu, who were inspired by guys like Dikembe Mutombo and Hakeem Olajuwon. Well, now that the NBA is making this investment over there, I believe, I can't see the future, but I believe it's going to lead to a massive influx of talent. And if you can get more people in this league, like Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, it's better for the game. So that's my little rant. Thank you, Mr. Spears. Thank you to Kendra Andrews, who joined us earlier. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. We will talk to you guys later in the week.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.